The verse that everyone 45 and above was to sing, he said this: He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. Okay? Now, Randy yesterday worked his last day at Crown Y, the Redemption Center. Okay? What is a Redemption Center? Well, under the laws of the state of New York, when you buy a can of soda pop or something of that sort, the state retains the right to that can, to those bottles, and you pay a nickel deposit to assure that you'll bring it back. Then they redeem that can, which they have the rights to, okay? And that's where he worked. Now, I want you to listen to this. We don't necessarily all need to turn here. It's not my message, but it goes along with that verse. He took my sins and my sorrows, made them his very own. And Hebrews chapter 9:15, it says, And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. Now, what is the First Testament? Is it not the law of God? Is not that the First Testament, the law of God? That testament made with the blood of bulls and goats? Yes. What are the transgressions under that testament? Those are our sins. Those are the places we broke that. He redeemed them. He came and bought them from you. He purchased them. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. Okay? That's where that verse comes from. He took my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance.
Amen.
All right, that's where that comes from. He redeemed those things. Those things where you broke that testament, he redeemed them. He took them. He said, these are mine. They belong to me. Okay? They're not yours anymore. They're mine. Okay? Then died for them. All right, now, Deuteronomy 29. Well, Stephen Asquith, why don't you pray for Deuteronomy 29 and for this service?
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God and for what do for a person, and I pray for this service that you would lead it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen. Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now, what happens in Deuteronomy is this. Deuteronomy is often called second law, because Moses gave the law to Israel in those first books of Moses. And then in Deuteronomy, he's got them all standing there. He's got this huge crowd, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people standing there. And he's speaking with that natural amphitheater, the hill he's on, and he's reading them those laws again and giving this covenant, and it's his last speech to them before they're ready to go into that promised land. And they're a mature nation. They had not been a mature nation when we brought them out of Egypt. One of the reasons I enjoy reading the book of Numbers, even though it's a tedious book, I read it in 4 days, 9 chapters a day. It's 300 some verses every day when I read it. But you start out with them numbering them. You get the camping order of Israel. It's so important. It's ordered after the order of heaven. So important that when Balaam saw that camping order and saw them in that order, the Spirit of God came upon him, okay? Because it's something there that's powerful. Then Israel fails God, okay? Because, and God never counts on man doing anything but failure, but he gives you everything not to fail, okay? But yet when you do fail, you don't shock God, okay? Then he takes time to rebuild them. And in the end, those last nine, they are a fighting force. They're something the world cannot stand in front of. They cannot stand before this. And he's going to give them that final talk, and in Deuteronomy, he does it. So verse 2, and Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Now verse 4 is a surprising verse. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Here's all Israel standing there. He's done these great works with them, and yet he's about to do a great spiritual work with all of them. They're all standing there. Unto this day, they still don't have the heart they need to have. Unto this day, they don't have the eyes they're supposed to have. They don't have the ears they're supposed to have. Now turn with me to Deuteronomy 30. Long page turn. As an aside, I'll show you something here. Tony Westfall will love what I'm going to show as an aside. He loves outer space stuff. This is just an aside, but I want you to look at verse 4. He's talking about his second coming. He says, if any of thine be driven out into the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. What if you really believed your Bible for what it said? If they're in God's heaven, why would he have to go and gather them? The other heaven's the atmosphere. What other heaven could he be talking about? What if some of them were on Elon Musk's colony on Mars? Will Jesus get them there? Okay. You see that? What's it say? What heaven can that be? Can it be the atmosphere? Can it be God's heaven? Then it's got to be the second heaven, isn't it? It's the only one it can be. He told you that. What if some of them are out in the space station? Okay? He said, I'll come and get you. All right? So when you believe this Bible, it's amazing what it'll teach you. All right? Now, that was just a little aside there. I'm not charging for that one. All right. We'll go to verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Verse 12, it is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? So in other words, he said, you know, unto this day, you didn't have ears to hear, you didn't have a heart for all this, you didn't have eyes to see. And he said, but yet the word that I've got for you, you don't have to go to heaven to get it. You're not going to have to get it there, okay? Verse 13, neither is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. In other words, we're not going to have to send explorers to try to find out where's this. So it goes on to the Bible colleges. They're searching around trying to find where the Bible really is and such. Okay. Verse 14, but the word is very nigh unto thee. What's that mean? Nothing between you and the word of God. Nothing between you and nigh. Paul Scott's taught us that near means to be close to something, okay? I am near to Lenny Grimes, but this Pat is nigh to him. There's nothing between. Your King James Bible said, that's why all those new versions, they just throw those, oh, it's too hard. Little Poindexter can't learn the word nigh, you know? So they throw away a doctrine, okay? Here it says, the word is nigh thee, nothing between you and the word of God. Now, that doesn't sound like how we started this, does it? There, in this chapter, as Moses speaks to him, there is a spiritual transformation to Israel as a whole. It takes place between 29 and 30. And he says this, verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Okay? And then I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that thou shalt live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess it. Why? Because now when you go in there, you don't just have some man reading the word of God to you. I put it in your heart. Mm-hmm. That's where it is. You're not going to have to go search for this anymore. It's in your heart. Okay? A spiritual transaction has taken place from between Deuteronomy 29 there in Deuteronomy 30. Now go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 6. In fact, we'll go, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Okay? And he said, by the way, that's to bring Christ down. That's like saying, hey, Jesus, come on down here and explain to us what you said. Okay? Righteousness of faith doesn't need that. Okay? There were people who watched Jesus Christ on this earth and couldn't get it. There were people who heard his words and said, we don't understand them. Why? Because to understand Jesus Christ is not an intellectual achievement. It is a spiritual achievement. And it is something that God has to prepare the heart for, that he tried to do it with the generation of Israel earlier, and that generation failed, and the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 4, their hearts were not right. They're in hell. The ones who created, the ones who built the tabernacle, the ones who brought their gold and their jewels, died outside of Christ, died outside of faith. I remember one time the Lord showing me the church that I was saved under, trained in, that it would be the next generation that would take that church somewhere, that my generation would not. And sure enough, that's happened. A man a generation below me has taken that church to the next point. My generation failed that church. That's what happened there. Now it goes on, it says this. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. How are we going to find the word of God? Let's see if we can go down and see if Christ really did die and if he really did raise again. No, we're not going to do that. God put the word nigh us. God gave us the word of God. God put it inside of us and gave it to us so it's there. You know, when Chelsea made her profession almost 2 years ago now, which seems to be holding up pretty good, all right, we get a lot of professions that don't hold up, and that's why I tell people, be patient, wait. You never know, okay? Let that wait, let it mature, let it do what it's going to do. But at the time I said, well, now she's the darling baby, you know. Today, just when Sunday school started, little Addison was making noise. Didn't bother me. That's my grandchild, all right? You know, that's the little darling baby, all right? And, you take little Noah. He'll make noise. Don't bother me. That's the darling grandbaby. Now, if the Kuntz's baby makes noise, now that's an offense, all right? All right? But the thing is, she was that darling baby. And I said, you know, for a while we'll dote on that or whatever else. Now we got other darling babies, all right? And Chelsea's nothing anymore, all right? All right? So what, you know? We have other darling little babies that God's brought to us, and it'll be a wonderment for a while. But Stephen said I was finally given that assurance. Now, when I was talking to him yesterday, to me, I could see the word was nigh him. I could see that, okay? He was talking about being in great bitterness over something, and he said all day long as he would say something, the word would say this. He'd say something, the word would say that. He'd do this, the word said that. And I realized that's an inner working of the word of God going on in him, all right? And I recognize that. But again, God has to take each person. That's why the Apostle Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, okay? One of the great problems that fundamentalism's had in the last 40, 50 years is sitting down people and not letting them work it out, working it out for them. And as a result, many have masqueraded and have what Pastor Hain calls churchianity. And then some people who have true Christianity, I don't think develop as quickly because of that. Okay? That's my opinion. Okay? My opinion with $1.60 will get you a cup of coffee at McDonald's. Remember when we used to be able to say 10 cents, yeah, you get a cup of coffee? Well, it's inflation, all right? My opinion didn't get any better, but the coffee's more expensive. All right. Now, again, the Apostle Paul speaking. Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. My longing has been this. Because I am a person who at one time preached the word of God, did street work, passed out gospel tracts, did work with people running through the Romans Road, and did not have Bible salvation while I did that. Okay, and yet I'd given up my fornicating. I was not smoking dope. I was living clean as far as that goes, but I did not have the word nigh me. I did not have that. Okay, I'm sensitive to that there are people out there in that condition. And when they are, only the Holy Ghost is going to show them that. He's the only one who can make that sink. Okay, if it's me saying it's just the testimony of men. And what does that mean? It means nothing. Okay, it means nothing. All right, John Asquith by himself destroyed his family. John Asquith with the Holy Ghost has watched God redeem much of his family, restore much of his family, okay? So the thing is, having that longing that people should really see that. The template I have seen of old in the Great Awakening, the great Oliver Green campaigns. By the way, do you realize when Billy Sunday died, he said to his wife, all of our children are lost. Some of the last words he told her. All of our children are lost. That great Billy Sunday, those great campaigns, and yet he lost his own family. Okay? And here's a couple things it shows you. Number one, they probably all went down to altars and prayed. Okay? Can't imagine going to Billy Sunday campaigns and not. But what he recognized is that none of them ever had that circumcision in the heart. None of them ever had the word of God go nigh them. And none of them ever developed with the word of God. And he recognized they're lost. Okay? And it's a different age, different time. Of old, men preached. People responded. The Holy Ghost worked. And we waited for the Holy Ghost to develop inside of them what the Holy Ghost was trying to develop. And the Word of God has many places where it tells you to make secure yourself, make sure, make your calling and election sure. Do this, okay? It's not that you just get a little badge. Salvation isn't something where up there St. Peter and he heard you make a prayer, so he makes a check in a book. That isn't salvation, okay? And yet that's how it's been taught for 50 years all over America. And it's a hard thing because I have people come to me, okay, distressed over salvation. And I have learned that I have very few words that I can say. Okay, put them under the Word of God. Put them challenged with the Word of God. Let the Word of God search their souls. Let the Word of God search their hearts. Let the Holy Ghost do with them what He wants to do with them and bring them to that place. I know not how the Spirit moved, convincing men of sin, nor how believing in His word created faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed in, and know that He is able. Okay, amen. I know that, amen. And I know that He's able, and I believe amen. That. And I have people come to me, it won't work for me, it doesn't happen for me. It's usually this big pity party and such. I understand that. Oh, Pastor, I'm just reprobate. It won't work for you. No, it will work for you because it's the Spirit of God who's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, who wants to work in their life. Bring them to that place. But God hath made man upright, but man hath sought out many inventions. Okay? And those inventions go on inside of men, and I don't always know what they are. Okay? I had a wonderful testimony today from a young man who realized there's a void in his life, okay? Came to me and said, you know, this thing I thought was my problem isn't really the problem. The problem is a void in my life. What a wonderful recognition. Amen. There's no counseling that anyone could have done and sat down. God would see that. Only God could make a young man see something like that.
That's right.
There's a void in my life. There's something that's empty there that needs to be taken care of.
Amen.
Okay? What I have longed for here, and probably failed more than done right. What I have longed for here is to create a place with God where people can come and work out their own salvations with fear and trembling, okay? And I remember in my early days taking some of my people to this person, Dr. Doodle, this and that. You know, maybe these people can work with them. None of those worked, okay? Didn't seem to do any good. And again, there's nothing wrong with those people. Don Hardman. You won't find many better preachers than Don Hardman out there, okay? I remember taking Dale and Amy there and just frustrated because they couldn't seem to get it right. Had them pray with him, all right? And, you know, and he probably one of the best prayers ever prayed anywhere, all right? But it didn't do any good. Didn't do anything in him, okay? Why? Because God had not prepared them for that place yet. He had not brought them to that place where faith can take over and faith can work. Now, 3 weeks from today, Miss Pam Wolfram is going to be kind enough to let us use her backyard and her lake frontage to have a baptism, okay? We have some people who, by the grace of God, believe that God has put the Word of God nigh them, that it is part of them now, that it lives in them, and that they now know by faith that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, that He is the Son of God. Okay, amen. That's the definition of salvation, of deliverance, of born again. How many people do I have here who would like to be part of that baptism? Okay. All right. Mr. Trevor, would you be so kind as to go get that microphone from Sam? When we have that baptism, I'm going to have my deacons with me. Ronnie Skolton will be baptizing his own son. Neil will baptize two of his students, okay, as deacons in this church. I'll rub-a-dub-dub my own boys, all right? Yeah. Go ahead and give it to Timothy there. What do you want to say?
I would simply say that I've been in church my whole... Is this on, Sam? I just say I've been in church my whole life. I've heard the Word of God preached over and over again. But in the last week, I could admit awful things about myself. I could say that my life was terrible. I could say I've done so many things wrong, but I never saw myself how God saw me, as a very prideful and bitter person, and that hurt me. But then after the service, when talking with Mr. Morey and him saying, you can believe in hell, but you can't believe that God would save you. And I knew that to be true. I knew I could not believe that God could save me. And then I was thinking about it, and Sam got up there and he talked about the faith that you always talk about, that if you were burning in hell, if you woke up in hell, you'd laugh because you knew that you had the faith of Christ and you couldn't stay there. And I thought, man, I believe God could give that to me. And it hit me. I believe that God could give that to me. And then when I realized, oh my word, I believe that. I believe the Word of God. I believe that God did that. And I got saved.
Amen. I like it. Should take that to... Give it to Miss Lily. Miss Lily, do you want to say something? I'm not going to force you to. Do you want to say something, sweetheart? You go ahead and say something.
Like Jim said, I've been listening to the preaching my whole life. I wasn't really listening. I heard the words, but I didn't really understand them and listen to them good enough. This past youth week, God opened my ears, and then on Saturday, when everyone was giving their testimonies, I finally realized what I was, and I believed. And
I like it. That's fine, Miss Lily. God bless you. Miss Autumn, do you want to say something, sweetheart? Take that back to her. Thank you, Trevor.
Said I listened to the Bible my whole life. I never really believed what I was. A couple months ago, I back talked to my mom, and I did that for a lot of years, but it bothered me that day. God showed me who I really was. It hurt me, but I believed, and
I like it. It's good, Miss Autumn. Put your hand there to Mr. Believin' Stephen.
Like the rest of them. I also grew up in church, but when I was, how old are you? When I was probably 10 or 11 years old, I grew up in Gethsemane Anabaptist Church, where was, but I became convinced around that age that in order to be saved, you had to have as bad a testimony and as bad a life as what most people in that church had, and that was having lived a life of sin and just gotten into every form of sin, and then God would hear you and he'd save you. And I'm sure at that time, at some point, I had sought for salvation of some kind and found no assurance and realized I don't have this. And I did just that and got out of the house, lived a life of great sin, anything I thought my mind of, that's what I did. And that's what I did. But what I would say is, what a foolish and foolish thing that children believe. Because there are some sitting here that have found salvation without having done that.
Amen.
And that was a great error of my life. But over these past few months, God began dealing with me greatly, probably starting in August of last year, going to a Blaine meeting. And Father was preaching about how you can walk out of the church and anything you do to distract yourself from the conviction of God, you're in great danger of turning God off. And from that moment forward, I was in great agony every day. And he dealt with me for months over that, and then come sometime in April, I can't remember exactly when, I was at a meeting at another church, and the man was just preaching on, what do you want? Out of one of the stories in the Gospels, what do you want? Why won't you just ask God for what you want? And I just went forward on that night and begged God for salvation and found no assurance, found nothing in that. But I laid there and for the first time really laid it all out, exactly what I wanted from God, and that was salvation. I'm so sorry for how I lived my life, how foolish to have done what I've done. I gained nothing from a life of sin, but deep regrets. It's so hard to get out of the sin that you've started. So hard to get out of the lies that you've put in your life. You'll hate yourself for them if you ever try to get out of it. But the meeting was extended here into Dale felt like the meeting should go on, and so him and Ryan and them, they came to this church, and as Dale was preaching, he preached it, and he mentioned a verse in Romans, and it was saying, I can't even remember exactly the quotation of the verse, but just that those who believe are given God's faith, and I believed that right then. But what I did not know was to believe that Bible fully and to have assurance and to know that salvation and assurance comes through the Word of God. And so as I went forward from that day, I began to find things that were a great struggle to me. I had no assurance of eternal life. I just see how could I have eternal life? And I stayed in agony over that and then just continued to call myself lost because I did not have full assurance of that. And yet believed that God's blood was shed for me, that it was for me, that for my sins, that's why he died. And came up to Youth Week of this year, and I just, in greater and greater bitterness over the thing, why is God not responding to me, and why is he not saving me? As I certainly, in my pride, consider myself to be trying harder than anyone here. Honestly, I felt that way. But when Timothy and Samuel professed to have salvation, it was not a happy thing to me. Great bitterness, just beyond the pale, and in an agony and almost in a fury over it, that why would God do this for them, especially Timothy, who I might consider to be doing almost nothing for looking for salvation, so doing that. I'm just telling you how bitterness will be in your life. And I just was talking about that with God in my heart, like, why would you do that? And you know, I'm still in this great agony, though I'm struggling, though I'm reading the Bible, though I'm studying the Bible, though I'm going to all these meetings all over the place looking for this. And we had church on Sunday, and Father quoted a verse to me because I just told him, I basically asked him where was the repentance and all that, and I already know that if you believe God, well, you repented of unbelief, didn't you? But I asked him that, and he went into a little bit, he quoted a verse to me, he read a verse to me, if thou doest well, shalt thou be accepted, and if not, sin lieth at the door, and I'm probably misquoting that, but it's in Genesis, talking about Cain, and that was like a stab in my heart, because I knew that's right, and I cannot deny the word of God, and any verse that comes to me, I cannot deny the accuracy of that. If it is pricking me, then it is so. And on Monday morning, this past Monday, I was just walking around, packing, leaving the Botan's house, and was in great, great bitterness. Again, waking up, great, great bitterness. Why will not God give this to me? And he was just bringing verses to my heart as I was walking around the house, packing up to leave. And I would have a thought about how this is so unfair, and immediately a verse would reply to me and show me that's wrong. And so I would stop at that thought, and I'd bring up another until I just had no other. And I just knew I'm wrong. And I knew I was wrong already and could profess that, but I hadn't said all the reasons out yet. And I finally just laid on the floor in that house, and just, I wasn't even past the bitterness. I was still so bitter, but I knew it was wrong, and I just laid on the floor and laid there and just explained to God how bitter I was about the whole thing. And I had no idea how to get out of it. And when I got up a couple minutes later, it was not there anymore. And God just completely delivered me from it, as he has delivered me from other things. But that was just one of those times where I just stunned that God could do that, and that I had that joy again, and the great wonderment of reading the Bible and those verses being for me again. And why would I not claim salvation at that point? Because I had not had an absolute confident assurance that what I believed was faith. For I am a liar and have been all my life, a great liar, and lied to myself and others, and a sneaky person, and so I was not sure, am I lying to myself and what I'm thinking? Am I lying to myself? Am I reading these verses and just applying them to me because, well, that's what I want, that's what I've always wanted. But as I spoke with Father yesterday, I got some more assurance as we talked over those things. And this morning, God had me looking at the word faith. And that faith that God has, and that's that absolute assurance that his word is so. And he believed, therefore he spoke. And he relied on the promises of God, which were the words of God that he spoke. And then Pastor Hain was teaching this morning, and I got that full assurance, yes, what's going on inside of me is the faith of God.
And you got it when Dale preached a couple months ago, you believe?
Yes.
Okay. Just took you a long time to wind through and see all that. Good. All right. Take that. Nick, real quick. That's hard for you. By the way, one of Nick's greatest antagonists has been Peter Cornelius. Peter said to me, something's happened to Nick.
I'll try to keep as brief as I can. On the first day of youth week, technically being Sunday, the 1 o'clock service with Cliff Taylor, I don't remember a time ever in my entire life being that angry during a service. And I thought I was angry for the cause of Christ, and it was a bunch of nonsense. I was just bitter and prideful. A few days before that, Maddie's parents picked me up for Bible study, really just surprisingly. I mean, I didn't expect to go. And I started to appreciate the fact that God was still working in my life. And I was hating him. Pastor said, you know, he's trying to teach you the character that you're asking for, and you're hating him for doing it. But he began to start delivering me from bitterness, which I believe is an ongoing, lifelong issue. But it was such a load off. I've never had so much relief at one time. And that, you know, dealing with so much oppression from devils and stuff throughout my life, just pretty dark stuff. And then again, God showing me how I can be delivered, how I can protect myself from that each night, and actually submitting in my heart, not just throwing things out of my life. And for the first time in my life, I loved the verse that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Because with all these things the devils have done to me my whole life, and you lend yourself to their cause. I mean, whether I believe that you're doing that, and then to watch what they do to me, and then to watch what God does in contrast to that. For him to finally show me that salvation is of the Lord. He was going to make sure that I knew, because I was honestly blind to so much. He had to make sure that I knew, you're not going to make this thing work. Like, you can't do it. You're not going to do it. And he showed me that you need to just step aside. If you continue to try to make it work, you're doing it in your power like everything else. So I just constantly have a joy and a praise that God would not change for me, because I would have ruined it. So finally, I have that ability to, he took the scales off, he showed me where I was blind, I had the ability to step aside, and then the gates just opened and Christ came in, and I have that assurance that there is an assurance that doesn't doubt. Timothy actually said to me that night, you wake up in hell, you laugh because you know you can't stay there. I never knew it, how to understand that before. But to finally have that assurance and to be able to just rest in Christ, not caring what anybody else thinks, just being able to rest in Christ. It was a peace I don't know if I can ever describe.
Amen.
Praise God for it.
All right, Trevor, give that back to Sam. When Pastor Hain comes up here, Sam will be giving his testimony. But keep this in mind. Jesus Christ did wake up in hell and said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. And he could not stay. Take the biggest beach ball you've ever seen, go to the public swimming pool, try to hold it at the bottom of the pool. It can't do it. It was impossible that he should be holding of death. The Apostle Paul says, we having the same spirit of faith, I believe, therefore have I spoken. And that's why Oswald Chambers and I both said what we said. All right. So Pastor Hain, will you come up and lead the song as soon as Sam's done with saying what he wants to say? Is there anyone else who wanted to serve? Yes.
If I could, maybe 1 o'clock. I know the teens are free.
Certainly.
Or whatever. I would like to say something. Sir, if I would have time.
Yeah, be on that work for him to be able to say something that is your service.
Okay.
Yeah.
After 1 o'clock.
Either way. Whatever you would be able to work it out. Whatever will work out, you do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
As Dad was saying, or our pastor, he was preaching these things on, I think it was June 29th or June 30th. And I just saw it. I written down in my notes app while somebody was preaching before him. I think there was like 3 people that preached. And I didn't believe that if I sought for Jesus Christ, he would save me. And I just finally determined in my own head, as one person was preaching, I just wrote down that I will be saved because of Romans 10:9 or John 3:16. Or even 2 Peter 3:9, which is, God is not slack concerning his promises. And I just determined, I will be saved. And his dad got up and did his half preaching, half expounding, half teaching, half whatever.
Nice math.
He just talked about Jesus Christ being in hell and having that faith. And I have that faith.
Amen.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And it was that simple. Simplicity that is in Christ.
By the way, that Saturday, so much power of God fell. You know where I was? Walmart. We all gathered together, the power of God fell upon me. I came here, sat for about an hour. I was so tired I could hardly see straight. I said, well, if I have your time with the power of God, I'm going to take a nap. And God kept working.
Yeah,
all right? Pity me. Put me aside. Get that working.
Great to hear these testimonies.
By the way, bring your waiters 3 weeks from now. You'll be bring your waiters 3 weeks from now. You'll be baptized in Stephen.
Oh yeah?
Lord showed me that. So bring your waiters. Okay. I think you'll love that. I don't think I